When you feel your voice is not being heard, please consider calling the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections. The show wants to be the vehicle you can use to express your opinion or get your issue out to a larger audience. We're living in a time that we can no longer allow others to speak on our behalf. If you wish to be a guest on the show and discuss on the show what's important to you, call James T. Deshay at 407-394-9819. Your issue or focus can be placed on the calendar. The show is live 7 days a week, Sunday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in 657-383-0309. We can no longer reside in the shadow of life. It's imperative that we're on top of the issues that impact our lives now and in the future.
Welcome, everyone. This is your host, James T. Deshay of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports and Media Network. You know, as always, I'm so pleased and happy to be here and talking to you about what's going on and its impact in our world and the kinds of things that we can do to make change the direction of our society if we feel like it's going in the wrong direction. Everything is important. And your opinion will always be respected. And so we want you to call in and get an opportunity to share your piece and make sure that people know what your perspective is on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection.
USI Never Had It So Good, 101.1 Radio, the best R&B and hip-hop music, The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never Had It So Good Radio now on 101.1 and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
You know, there's some crazy things going around in our world, and we always want to know what's going on and how we can help to make sure we make a difference. And sometimes, you know, there are people who just don't seem to understand the need to stay in control. And if you're a young lady, and no matter if you're an aunt or if you're a niece or you are a schoolgirl, college girl, or whoever you are, if you like bad boys, you need to stay in control of them. You need to make sure your pit bull is not out there creating chaos and you're not giving them a situation to go out of control. All you ladies out there know who you're dating and you know their temperament. And so you need to be careful about what you say to them so that they don't go off and create a bad situation. And we do know sometimes you want to be around men who protect you or you feel that you're protected. But at the same time, you need to make sure these men are not put in a position where they can't control their tempers. And you need to know their temperament and not just cut them loose on society. And this is one of those situations where a young lady felt like she was disrespected and she lit a fuse under her boyfriend or her man and he created an incident that's going to impact her and him for the rest of their lives. I want you to listen to what happened so that we can talk about women understanding their men and making sure they don't put them in situations where they will create an awful turnout.
Well, an argument outside of North Las Vegas McDonald's turned deadly for 31-year-old man. Family members of Muhammad Robinson say he died Saturday night after he mistakenly did not hold the door open for a woman. News 3's Antonio Castellan joins us live near Pecos and Las Vegas Boulevard. And Antonio, do police have any leads so far tonight?
Late North Las Vegas police are hoping these cameras will turn up some leads. We are hearing that one of the cameras caught the shooting on video. Now police are tracking a killer who murdered a man for not opening up a door here at this McDonald's.
He always made fun. Even when the situation was bad, he always made the frown turn upside down.
14-year-old Minaya Sampson remembers the father who always made her smile. North Las Vegas police say on Saturday night, 31-year-old Muhammad Robinson was gunned down as he was walking outside this McDonald's near Pecos and Las Vegas Boulevard.
I didn't expect to be this sad, and it hurts me very badly. So you just turn yourself in because everyone is like, can't believe this happened.
Witnesses say Robinson was shot after getting into an argument with a woman over an unopened door. The woman yelled at Robinson after he did not hold the door to the McDonald's open. The angry woman notified a man she was with. That man, police say, opened fire on Robinson.
It was a stupid reason. It's honestly irrelevant. And it doesn't make sense. Why would you actually take someone's life over not opening the door?
Police have not released a description of the gunman. Sampson says it's important the murderer is put behind bars.
I love him. I wish he was still here.
The family needs help paying for this funeral. If you...
Now, this is what you call senseless violence. I mean, it just blows my mind. We know that people should be courteous. We know that that people should be, you know, polite to one another. But there's all kind of things that could be going through somebody's mind that they're not thinking about being polite or being courteous or holding the door open, and that there are more things in life to be angry about than for a man to lose his life because he didn't hold the door open. And there are a lot of people who are responsible for this. Of course, this young lady should have been mindful of what it was she's going to argue about or what she's going to share with her boyfriend, because she should have known what kind of temperament he had. This young man who was the boyfriend should have recognized that I'm not going to get in no argument about no man not opening the door for you. And that doesn't mean he doesn't love you. But now we have three people, one who's dead, one who, if caught, is going to be in jail for the rest of his life, and a female who should also do time for setting off the dynamite. You know, and we have to get to the point where we stop being a part of senseless violence or looking for opportunities to act out of control. We got to learn to be in control of our emotions. And here is a man who's lost his life and his family, who I'm sure needed his income, is not going to be without a father or a boyfriend or a husband as a result of not holding a door open. So we just wanted to have a discussion about what are the roles that we play as a girlfriend, as a wife, you know, as a father or as a boyfriend, that we do or interact in ways that we control the senseless violence that is around us. And one of the things is, if you can't control your temper, maybe you should not be around carrying a gun. We're going to go to the phone line. How are you doing today, Kathy?
How are you doing, Mr. Newsday? I'm doing good.
So what are your thoughts about this senseless violence that's being erupted and created by someone just not opening the door for someone?
I'm not exactly sure. That happens every day, all day. So if I was to allow someone to, if I was to go and get somebody, that means there will be a whole lot of people in trouble and a whole lot of people going to jail. So I think that's very sad, though, that that has happened and where people's mindset is today.
Yeah, we live in a time where people are not very cordial to each other as it is, and for someone to expect, you know, sometimes when people don't hold the door open, you just chalk it off as somebody who does not don't know proper etiquette, and just move on. But to get into fights over senseless gestures that one person might believe is required and another may not even think about. It's just an opportunity to always be fighting about foolishness.
Yes, you're absolutely right, and that is foolishness. And I don't know if they're letting something loose in the air that's making people act crazy for no reason, but something is definitely going on.
And it just seems like our young people, and again, I don't know, this man I think was 32, and I don't know how young the shooter was, but we have young people out there who just don't care enough about their freedom to live their lives in a controlled fashion, that going to jail is no big deal, so they're always prepared to act out angrily in situations that don't require them to be angry.
Well, I think they have a heartless of heart, meaning they don't care what happens. So there are some people that are out there that, I mean, like when they wake up, it's like today is my day to die. They do not care about life, about a purpose, about anything. So that's why we need to pray before we leave home. So that if we do run into those kind of people, we'll be able to de-escalate the situation.
You know, that used to be a thing that I had to deal with when I was working at the jail. You talk to these young people, and they would have this real callous sense of reality. They would say to me, well, Mr. Deshaies, you got to die sometime, so it ain't no big deal. And I would tell them how stupid I thought that was. And I would say to them, you know, there's so much to enjoy about life. And to sit there and suggest that you don't have a reason for living because, you know, you can just take it or leave it doesn't mean that you don't have a true reality about what enjoying life is like. Like, you know, sometimes we sit down and enjoy a good meal. Sometimes we sit down and we enjoy a good laugh. Or we see a good movie and we enjoy it. So it doesn't take a whole lot to enjoy life, but just understand that all those things build up as you grow older. You get more opportunities to have a collection of things that make life worth living, so that when you're in your early 20s, you don't even know what it is you're going to enjoy or have the opportunity to do until you get to that age. And so when some of these young men are so callous about their lives and just look for opportunities to get into dangerous situations, they're really not respecting what their lives can truly mean.
Well, I think they don't really know. A lot of people, you know, have had such a rough upbringing or different obstacles in their life to where they don't know how to come from beyond that. So that's why they do and say the things that they say. I was watching a movie called God Compass of a young man who was getting ready to rob this lady of her car. Her car stopped in the rain, and when he opened the door to rob her, she said, help me, because she was having a baby. But his intent was to rob her, but he had turned around and had to help her. He didn't want to, but she was crying out to him, help me, so he did. But I'm just saying that to say that people are hurting so bad to where they don't know what a laugh is. They don't know what a good time is. They don't know how to be happy or even enjoy happiness.
And they don't understand, you know, again, when I make the statement that it doesn't take much to be happy, there are times when nothing is going on in our lives, but we have peace of mind. Our life is without drama. And that peace of mind gives you joy. A simple day without frustration can bring you joy. And so, you know, we really need to recognize and have people understand that living has its own reward, when you do it in a fashion without a whole lot of drama.
You're right, but again, some people don't know how to enjoy that little bit of peace, that little bit of happiness. Some people have never experienced that. Some people have never sought that because of their upbringing or where they came from or the type of situations they came out of.
Yeah, and their life is filled with, you know, and I think that's the same thing in this situation. You have people who are just ready and prepared to get in arguments about anything, and they, you know, but I was just thinking, one of the thoughts I thought about was when a woman is involved with a man who is a bad, you know, when they talk about a thug or you like thugs or you like bad boys, you need to be mindful of how you control them or you set them off. Because here it is, two people either going to McDonald's just to get something to eat, and now you have two individuals ended up with their whole lives changed as a result of me not opening a door. And so you need to be mindful of the kinds of things you say to somebody you know can't control his emotions. And to just set him off in that fashion, and, you know, that's why I hold her just as equally accountable as him, because she knows he carries a gun. She knows that the least little thing will set him off, and then you need to not be trying to create an environment for him to be set off like that, and certainly not over something like somebody didn't open a door for me.
Yeah, and that's just the thing that they got caught doing. You can only imagine what else they've done and just haven't got caught behind it. And again, I think it goes back to hurting people hurt people, because I know someone in the same situation, a young lady who all of her life have grown up and saying that no one loves her, and then she gets with this guy that's just as destructive. And when she wants to break it off with him, he starts threatening her family, breaking the windows, breaking the car windows, you know, because she got with somebody that was hurting just like her and then promised them something. And now the two have became one, you know, and now she no longer wants to be with this person. So the person is fighting her. So, I mean, it's just, again, it goes back to hurting people. And if you never receive love, how do you know how to love?
And you're so right. And that is amazing when you share that story, because that story repeats itself over and over all across the country. I know when I was in college, I had an aunt who was married to my uncle, and they got separated or divorced. I'm not sure which one. But she was the nicest woman I ever knew. She woke up every morning and caught the bus to work. She paid her bills, took care of her two little boys. And she was committed to taking care of her family. But at some point, she just had to have a connection. She had to have, you know, she wanted to be in a relationship. And she met this person who had spent some time in jail, and she invited him into her home. Now, this was a home that she took care of, a home that she took care of her boys in, and that she was able to do all of this on her own with the job that she had at the restaurant. She worked as a waitress. But I guess after she grew tired of his violence, tired of his foolishness, she wanted him out. She called the police, and they told him he had to leave. This was during those times when the police would just tell, you know, one party to go on their way and the other party, you know, just to stay away from each other and wouldn't arrest anybody, especially if there wasn't any violence at that time. And she called her brothers over to protect her. And the man came back, and he shot her. And
wow.
Now those two boys had to grow up with without a mother just because she didn't want to be with this man any longer. And that was his M.O. He just was a man that was unable to control his anger, wasn't able to control his disappointment, and he now is in jail for life. But we've lost the love and companionship of a wonderful woman just because of this crazy, uncontrollable man. And there are a lot of uncontrollable men out there who are triggered by women, either on the world outside of themselves or on the woman themselves. And you have to know what you're getting into because it can be life-changing.
Absolutely. And my concern would be for the boys, you know, are they getting counseling, you know, because that's a tragic thing to happen. And, you know, they need to talk through that situation. They need help to know why that happened and how it happened and what could have been done to prevent. I mean, you know, just to talk it out, because to have that bottled up inside of them can cause them to grow up and act out as well.
Right. Well, they grew up, you know, and both of them are working, and I don't get to see them much. One of them is my first cousin, and you know, but that was a tragic thing for them to live with. They moved in with their family, and they got through it all. But, you know, being African-American, I'm not sure if they ever got any real counseling. But it's just, it was a horrific thing. I mean, these were young boys. They had to be middle school age at the time it happened, if not elementary school. And it was just terrible. I mean, I was in college at the time, but it just goes to show you there are people who are walking around our lives with us with very, very short fuses, and they're willing to do almost anything senseless, almost all kinds of senseless violence, because they don't have a true love for their freedom or a true love for life.
Our true love for themselves, because first of all, it starts with you. You have to love yourself. So these people are not loving themselves, which would make them go out and do something like that to somebody and not care about the consequences of what's going to happen to them.
And then you know that at some point it has to come to a head. You can't do anything that horrific and the word not get to somebody. So you're right, there's going to be a price to pay. It's just a matter of time who you tell and who's going to tell. But it doesn't matter. You deserve to be punished when you so callously take the life of another person.
Absolutely.
You know, we live in a world where we wish the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ and his word was in everybody. But we live in the midst of such darkness, and we never know when we're going to come face to face with it. And so it is important for us to share our light with as many people as we can in order to give God's word the opportunity to grow within others who are outside of his love. But so many people are out there walking around amongst us who just don't have any love for life or love for others. And we have to face the tremendous damage that they can do as a result of the darkness that they live in.
Absolutely, and that's why we as believers have to be an example and have to be a light of what God truly is. We have to let our light shine so that the people that don't know him and that are in darkness will see that there is something different. There are good people out here. There are people that are different, you know? So
yeah, it's such sadness. You know, you sit there and look at how many millions and millions of men are locked up and in jail because they're unable to control their emotions. And then you see how many of them have been manipulated by women who don't see and understand the need to be decent, not only to themselves but to others, and not manipulate people in an evil manner just to satisfy their whims. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and continue our conversation just about people's inability to control themselves and understand the darkness that exists in some individuals who refuse to recognize that people deserve the right to live their lives in peace. Into an argument where the young man was killed because he did not open the door. And we know that opening the door for a woman is polite and is a gesture, but my goodness, it's not something that a person should end up being dead over. And we are living in a world where people seem to be unable to control their emotions, and they're willing to lash out in such evil and vicious ways. And so we just want to talk about how do we consistently live our lives in a world where people are willing to do such dangerous and evil, despicable things over the most senseless of things? Audrey, are you there?
Yes, good afternoon. I apologize, I'm calling in late, so I'm not sure what may have been discussed. And I'm not sure what would cause a person to go from an event of not opening a door to being killed. I know I like having the door open, and excuse me, I think it's something that we have to require if we're dating or if we're not. I mean, if you're married or whatever, it just women like to be treated as ladies and as queens, and that's part of the feeling. But I'm not sure what would have prompted someone to kill someone. I don't know all the ins and outs of it. But obviously,
well, this
the young lady
was, she didn't get the door open for her, and she must have, she complained about it. This was in Nevada, and she went and told her boyfriend that this man didn't open the door for her. And they got so angry, and an argument broke out, and the man took out a gun and shot a 32-year-old man. He was a father and a boyfriend, and now his life is over because someone got so felt so disrespected because he didn't open the door at a McDonald's.
Okay, so it wasn't her boyfriend; it was someone else, and she went to tell. She told the boyfriend, and the boyfriend just have treated her so much as a queen, and just felt that his girlfriend was just being violated or disrespected, and so it ended up he was the one that ended up being killed. The boyfriend?
No, it wasn't the boyfriend being killed. He ended up killing the gentleman who didn't open the door.
Oh, okay. Well, either way, that's unfortunate, but it sounded like what happened. They had a discussion of why the person didn't open the door for her. And at that time, people, it goes back to people having self-control. They had an opportunity to discuss it. And again, they may have disagreed, but you don't have to disrespect someone. And if a person can't control their behavior to the level of not getting what they want, I hate that that happened, but it's not necessary. Not opening the door, that's the start of it. That was just a Band-Aid. But the death occurred because of the fact that the discussion got to such a level that the two of them were unable to control the situation and move on. So it wasn't so much, from what I'm hearing, it wasn't so much that the door wasn't open, which wasn't nice. But, after they started discussion, a lot more was involved. I'm sure it may have been name-calling and the disrespecting of each other and just somebody had to prove they're bigger than the other. That's what that was about.
But one of the things, though, we talked about, Andre, was when you're dating a bad boy or someone with a terrible disposition, you need to know what it is will set them off. And why would you participate in destroying somebody's life by sicking your bulldog on the world and you know what kind of person he is? So I shall hold her just as accountable as him for pulling that trigger because she should have known the mentality of the man she was dealing with and not allow herself to get caught up in this foolishness about feeling as though she was disrespected.
Well, she may
not have told him
in a manner to in which she thought it would prompt him. It might have been a conversation. Do you know the day I was out and such didn't open the door for me? Man, it kept moving. I don't know. We don't know that. I'm sure that she didn't do it purposely to get him aggravated. I don't know.
It is just sad that there are people out there with such short fuses and that are just willing to go off in that fashion. We have another caller on. We're going to go to the phone lines and continue our conversation related about people with short fuses and who are out there just doing such horrific things for senseless reasons. 7265, give us your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Joyce Garrison, and I'm calling from Glendale, Arizona. I think that opening a door for a person should be a preference because when you kind of look at it, there are probably some females out there who prefer not to have a guy to open the door for them, more or less. And I agree with you when you said that the young lady, I blame her for the situation blowing up the way that it did. Because if it wasn't your man who did not open the door, then you should have a problem. But if anybody else did not open the door, that should not have been a problem at all. That's how I look at it.
You're right.
You know. So
yeah, you're right.
You made somebody else's problem your problem.
Yeah, you can't require people to have proper etiquette for you, and you don't need to be fussing and fighting over things that are so senseless.
That's right. You made someone else's problem your problem that should have been your man's problem. Maybe she did it and went to tell him to try to show him what she would be expecting, but that other person should not have been your problem, whether he opened the door for you or not. Your problem should be is whether or not you allow your guy to open the door for you and whether or not he did it or not. So you cost somebody their life. So I hope she's thinking about that. That's pathetic. You know, and like Andre had indicated, that everybody's so short fused nowadays. They're not thinking. They're reacting first and thinking later. That's not the way that it should be. You know, and where's the issue now, and where we was taught that you have consequences. When you react, there are certain consequences. People not realizing, thinking about a consequence that happens behind somebody's reaction.
And there's so many of us who live our lives so unlike that. I mean, I don't go out of my door with a gun. When I leave my house, the work, I'm not thinking about violence. I'm not thinking about being caught up in any foolishness. I'm just going out and hoping to have a good day. And we're exposed to these people who are carrying these weapons or who have this anger inside of them, and they just cannot control themselves. And so we have to be aware of not only how we're thinking, but how other people might be thinking, so that we can clue in to keep ourselves safe. So we got to be worried about what's going on in the mind of somebody else so that we don't get in an argument with no crazy person.
That's true. I agree with that. I agree totally. Same way when you drive down the street, not only are you looking out for yourself and driving for you, you're driving for the other person next to you too, because you got to think about, you know, suppose he may react in the wrong way.
Right, because police are telling you now not to make eye contact because you don't want a road rage to happen, because these people, you look at somebody, all of a sudden they don't like the way you looked at them.
It's sad, isn't it? This is what we're coming
it's
to,
crazy.
And I don't know what is going on. It is, very much so. Scary, really, it
Kathy,
is.
Kathy, what do you have to say about that? You live in an area where there is a lot of traffic, and you happen to maneuver through all that traffic, you know, and what are your concerns about dealing with road rage or interacting with people as you drive?
Well, I let the people have their lane. If they want to cut in front, I let them cut in front. If they coming up on the side of me, I let them come up on the side of me. Hey, I'm trying to get home.
Yeah, and it's so terrible. Now, you have people out there that just looking to get involved in a fight over the most silliness of things. You know, my attitude is when somebody cuts me off, or I make a mistake and I may barely just hitting somebody, I'm just thankful I didn't hit them. And I'm willing to go on and let bygones be bygones. But some people out there looking for the opportunity to get into a fight or get into any kind of confrontation and take it to a different level.
Right. We were walking from the store yesterday, and we were walking like where we work, there are parking structures. So we were walking through the parking lot from Ralph's, and this guy comes flying up behind us, and he actually almost hit one of the people that was with us. So when he passed by, we were like, what's going on with you? Instead of him blowing, it was like he was trying to run us down. So one of the people that was with us was so upset that she started to go after the guy, and the guy parked. And when he got out of the car, we were approaching where he was, and he turned around and looked back, and I was like, go, please go, you know, because if he would have said something else, it probably would have escalated to something else. So saying that to say that, you know, people are out here doing crazy things and they don't know what's going on with the other person, so you can't always, you know, think you can have everything your way, like him trying to run the guy over, you know what I'm saying? So
right. Andre, you drive a lot and have a lot of miles going back and forth to work. Do you have the presence of mind to deal with those kind of consequences? Do you think about these drivers who are out there with these short fuses who get into these road rage incidents?
Yes, and you're right. I drive a minimum of 600 miles a week. And one of the things that we offer at our company that I utilize personally as well is what we call our Smith driving system, because we figure everyone has the task of driving safely. So it's not only watching out for yourself, but you watch out for others. And part of that is to mitigate an incident by keeping enough space around you. Well, if you adhere to that rule, most people going to, you know, be aggravated because they want you to get up closer, keep going, get closer. And so they're going to dart in front of you. They're going to change lanes and that kind of stuff. But as Regina mentioned, you have to take ownership of putting yourself in a right mindset and say, you know what, let them go. It's not worth it. And she was sharing an incident where her and a friend of hers, it sounded like, made the decision, don't battle it, you know, choose which battles you want to fight, because, like you say, now people are driving with weapons. They all have short fuses. They have things that's going on in their life, and they just on the edge. And it's our responsibility to not only drive as safely as we can for ourselves but for others. But don't get me wrong, I'm human. And sometimes people aggravate me because if I'm leaving my space, I'm leaving that space for a purpose. And then they're going to dart in front of you, or somebody's going to be kind of ran down your back on your bumper and that kind of stuff like that. So, and that kind of, I have to really just ask myself, please, Lord, you know, help me with this, because, you know, we all human. We get upset. And our first natural response as humans is, you know, to be on the defense and protect ourselves. That's the human piece of us. But I have to really just work on, again, letting people go, you know, if they want to go, let them go. You know, and in most cases, by the time I get to the exit where they get to, you know, you're right there, a car or two in front of me. So it's not worth it. And plus, I don't want to get a speeding ticket.
And you're so right. You know, you made me think back, you know, being a man, you know, we really don't want to be challenged, and I'd rather avoid those situations altogether. You know, when someone raises their voice at me or says something ugly, you know, I do have to remember, hey, look, how far do I want to take this? Because our egos get involved, and we have to be careful that we don't know who we're talking to and how far they're willing to go in order to keep their ego intact. You know, I don't walk around with weapons, and I really feel that we, you know, some of our these weapons that we're encouraging people to get is too much. You know, I really don't want to live in a society where everybody's out there carrying guns, and the least little trigger, you know, you're going to have four or five people shooting at one another, and you don't know who is the innocent party. And so it's important that we, you know, monitor not only ourselves, but watch and keep our eyes open and aware of what's around us, because we don't want to get into these little skirmishes that ends up with someone dying. 7265, what are your thoughts in regards to how you keep yourself safe from this evilness that exists in the world today?
It's
Well, I kind of do what the other two young ladies said when they're behind the wheel or when I'm riding with someone. I'm hoping that the person that I ride with, because I normally ride more so than drive, I might be that second-hand driver, more or less, because if I see something approaching, I always kind of suggest that, you know, pull back a little bit, watch this person to the right, because, you know, they look like, you know, they need to get someplace in a hurry, so give them the lane, you know. Open it up and let them go. But as we move forward down the road, more or less, they've been pulled over, you see. So I think people should just drive for not only for themselves, but also, like you say, be aware of the person, your surroundings. And nowadays, more or less, you have to look straight ahead, because if not, then you don't want to get the finger from nobody. You don't want nobody to get, be pissed off or whatever. And then if you do think you pissed them off, just keep your face forward, I mean pinned forward, and do not look on that side and give them plenty of room, let them go straight ahead. That's what I suggest.
But you know, you say that, but you know, you got some people who get mad, like you ignoring me. You ignoring me, huh?
Care.
Then they really want to prove that you ain't going to ignore them. You know, so it's like you can't win for losing. You don't know what to set a person off.
That's true, but I'm looking forward. I'm not even looking at them. I'm not going to even look that way. No way. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, you're right. But it's so sad because, you know, when I say that, there's some guys out there who, if you don't, and women, if you don't argue back with them, or you don't, that even make them worse, you know. And so it all, you know, we're in a crazy society. And as Christians or as believers, you know, we want to take the road that does not create violence or does not create ugliness. But, you know, we sometimes can't avoid it. What are your thoughts, Cassie?
You're absolutely right. As a previous caller said, sometimes, you know, people may catch you at that time where you're like, and then you got to bring yourself back. But as long as you bring yourself back, then I think everything will be okay, because, you know, we are human. And there are going to be times where we face situations that we don't have any control over, and the natural part of us is going to take over. But we have to pull ourselves back, you know, to look at the full situation and de-escalate the problem if possible, so that everyone could go home safely.
And that's what it's supposed to be about. You know, we're just trying to live and let live. That's something I say a lot, but it has a lot of value to it. You know, live and let live. I'm just trying to live my life. I'm not trying to create any problems for anybody else. I want to live a peaceful existence. I just don't want you bursting my bubble, and I'll try not to burst yours. And I'm not out there looking for trouble. But the world is so full of people who are looking for reasons to just act out of control. I share a story with you guys. I was once waiting at the museum, and I was out there at the museum, and I was sitting in my truck, and I was collecting money as the people parked, and I was just minding my own business. But a car came by and ran out of gas, and it was a man and a woman in the car that ran out of gas. And so she walked up to my truck, and she said to me, she says, "Can you help me? I just ran out of gas." And I said to her, "Well, I don't have any money." And I'm sure they knew that I was up there collecting money, but that was the museum's money. That wasn't my money to give out. And so I told her, I said, "No, I don't have any money to give you." And her boyfriend was right there, and he said, "That's the reason why we jack people. Because, you know, they don't want to give you no money. That's why they get jacked and beat up and get their money taken." And I'm thinking, my God, so now I don't even have the right to say no. You know, and I could not believe, I mean, I was so outdone. So now what do you say to a person like that who says, you know, that's why people get jacked? Because they don't, I mean, so you don't have the right to say no? That, you know, you didn't know that was the museum's money, that I don't have the right to just give that money out And is it my fault that you ran out of gas? Crazy.
And then look at him sending her to go and ask. Isn't that something? That's what I heard the first piece of it was, you know, it's two of them, a male and a female. Why would you send that female up to go ask? You know what I mean? But, yeah,
well,
that's something that he's going to make the decision, and the decision is going to be what he wanted to be. And then he have a problem with it when you're not giving him your money. I mean, it wasn't your money in that case, but you weren't making the choice and decision for yourself.
Well, he probably thought that the woman was going to entice James, and you know she was going to blink her eyes, and he was going to say, "Oh, okay, here you go." You know how that works. They think that if it's a woman approaching a man, then maybe the man will be more at ease to giving or doing something.
Yeah, but it is amazing that you can think that I'm required. Just, you know, because the guys at jail would say the same thing to me. You know, I could have some candy on my desk, or they'll know that I have some food in my locker, and they say to me, "Mr. Deshay, can you give me something?" And I say no, and they say, "But I asked kindly." You know, I ask. You know, if you ask kindly, nobody can say no to you, and that would be the wildest thing that. You know, but that's some of the rules that they have in jail that, you know, I know you guys won't ever experience this, but I was in, you know, there are literally people who are my students who get their food taken. You know, they get extra food on the side if their families pay for them to have canteen. They call it canteen. And people would literally steal their canteen. And if they weren't willing to fight for it, then they wouldn't get it back. And how much you fought for it determined how much you get back. And for some people, though, that's the rules. It's like, you know, the world owes me everything, and I'm willing to fight for it. And if you're not willing to fight, then I'll just take what's yours.
Right.
That's their mindset. That's the entitlement piece again.
Yeah, and it's a very ugly thing, you know. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we'll come back. And I do have a question to ask everybody that's kind of off away from this subject. So we're going to come back and finish the show.
In the past, my life has been inundated by those who truly didn't understand the term commitment. The connections would flourish and become entangled by daily life experiences. Quickly, the act of seeing so promising turned down. What has recently appeared before me?
Should he continue his protest, or What are your feelings related to, is it going too far, or are we still supporting him, or what are our thoughts about this quarterback who's going to be entering the season very soon, and should he continue protesting in this? Kathy, we'll let you start. We only have 4 minutes, so give us your thoughts.
I support him, and that's his right. Now, as far as the Sox are concerned, I don't think he has to do that. But if he doesn't want to stand and do the Pledge of Allegiance, he should not have to.
All right. Audrey?
I think he has the right to not do the pledge in the manner in which he feel is best for him. I thank him for having the courage to use the platform to bring awareness of injustice of that pledge that we're not living up to. I don't
all
have
right.
nothing to do with his thoughts. That's up to him.
Well, he was a Sox in August, and I guess someone found the picture and they brought it to everybody's attention. So they're not even they not only are mad because he won't stand up for the national anthem, they're mad because he wore the socks with the police officers looking like pigs. So 7265, what are your thoughts about this quarterback continuing his protest?
I commend him for that, and I think at the time that he wore the socks, that was the time where the shooting was really out of control, and the police force was just something to be dealt with, and that was his way of, at that time, of expressing himself. But in the meantime, since that time frame, he has thought about it, I'm assuming, and he has decided to use his platform in this manner by not standing up, paying attention to the national anthem, and I agree with him, and I commend him for being bold enough, and you've got to be able to be bold and to risk a lot, and he has risked a lot in this instance. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar just came out, Louis Sitna, a long time ago is what he was called. He commend him as well, so I definitely commend him for using this platform in a positive way.
Well, you know, I'm on his side as well. But, boy, it's a long season. I mean, we're talking a lot of games. Is he going to be able to keep this up? And what kind of effect is it going to have on his teammates? Because it's going to bring a lot of exposure and focus on their team as they're trying to get ready to try to make it to the Super Bowl. And so I'm just wondering, how long can he keep this up, Audrey?
Well, you know, it was said that he's supposed to have some other support. A lot of the other players are supposed to be joining forces, so that's a wait-and-see type of situation. So maybe he just started the fire and made, you know what I mean, he just initiated the flame right about now. Because it was announced yesterday that others supposed to be joining suit as well.
Well, you know, it's said that the NFL say they don't have a policy one way or other, so they're not going to penalize him. So it's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out. And it's going to definitely give us something to talk about all season long, depending on how long he does it.
Well, one thing for sure, we'll be definitely looking at his team. You know, his team ratings will go up. That would be for sure because everybody will probably be looking just to see the reaction and just to see what his demeanor is like. So that may be a good thing maybe for the NFL as well.
You know, I don't want anybody to get hurt, but it would be outstanding if he became the first-string quarterback and he had a great season this year.
We have to pray for that. I really do, too. I really hope so, too.
All things are possible.
Well, all right. Well, I want to thank you all for calling in and continuing to support me and thoughts, love, and reflection. And we'll be back tomorrow at 6 p.m.
without you, I'd rather live a wrong doing life. Your mom and daddy say it's a shame, it's a downright disgrace. But long as I got you by my side, I don't care what you've